talking about what was located there.
Well, the hardware store there by Huff, owned by Huff. In fact, there's a Huff lives over on Katy Street, the son of that man that owned it.
Uh-huh. And where was that?
On the corner of Main and Center, the northwest corner. Across the road from that was, just to the south, was the old Ambler building. That was a hotel and my time it was kind of a just an eating place and served ice cream in there, and they had a little dance floor at the back end of it. You went up a couple steps and onto that dance floor. But before that, they'd also had a bar in there before Prohibition. And the building burned down during Prohibition, so I never saw the operations there too much.
Speaking of dancing, what can you remember about the recreational activities of Northville?
Of course, they always had the school operations where different classes, junior and senior classes had held dances, and then my time getting up that high when they were having dances after all the basketball games to raise money for the classes to use. And there were like the Masonic Lodge always had a dance. The Eastern Star had a dance, and they took place up in the gym in the schoolhouse. That is the old school on Main Street. There was, I remember my sisters and a couple of brothers going to what they called pastime dances that they would have during the winter. I guess they had them about once a month. And they were all married couples that went to those, I believe.
Where were they?
They held them in the schoolhouse, in the gym there. There was a skating rink down in back of where the Wares had their beanery, as they call it.
Oh, where was that?
Just beyond where the theater is, where it was across a little alleyway, and then there was the beanery.
Beanery?
Yes.
Was that a restaurant?
Yes. Don Ware's mother ran it.
And
there was also...
Then next to that was the skating rink?
Let's see. We kind of get those buildings mixed up. They were way, way back. They burnt down the same time the theater burnt down, way back in the 20s. But there was a skating rink in back of one of the buildings. I believe the Ware restaurant was in a small building by itself.
Now, you mean a roller skating rink or an ice skating rink?
Roller skating.
Oh, it's I mm-hmm. see.
And they held dances in that too, so.
Uh-huh. And that was somewhere in the area of where the theater is right now, then?
Just east of the theater.
Uh-huh.
See, back in the 20s, the theater burnt down, and this other building burned down too. It was an all-night fire. I remember, going back farther, I remember when they put the paved roads in Northville. They had paved 7 Mile Road was one of the first roads coming west out of Detroit that came any distance, and that came out to Northville. They paved that before any of those south of the Michigan Avenue. And then Northville paved their streets. First they paved up from 7 Mile Road up into town and out to Roger Street, down Roger Street and out 7 Mile Road now they call it, to the edge of town, the edge of the village. And in that same paving operation, they paved from Main Street down Center Street to the Baseline Road.
When
and I remember
that,
that operation.
That been? When would that have been? How old were you? Do you have any idea?
Oh, let's see. I was probably about 9 or 10, I think. Probably about 10. I don't remember whether it was before I was sick or after I was sick. I date everything from the time I had St. Vitus dance when I was 9 years old.
Would have been over 60 years ago, though.
Yes.
60 or 65 mm-hmm. years ago.
That's right.
First streets were paved.
Of course, first they had the sewer crews in, and when they put the sewers in, at that time there was during the period when there was an influx of Italian people into the United States, and most of the sewer crew, I remember, were Italian. The foreman on them was Italian because, well, he was a good foreman, but also he was the only one who could make himself understood to the other workers. That is, the men that had to do that heavy work down in the hole. And the reason I was quite familiar with that was because they always brought their tools to be sharpened to my dad's blacksmith shop.
Oh, I see.
Another one of my early memories was when there would be a fire. They had a hose cart that they pulled by hand. They'd come out of that fire hall and pulling that thing and running down the street with it.
Where was the fire hall, do you remember?
Yes. Right where building next to the corner is the big brick building has been reworked there on Main Street just west of the corner.
Where City Hall and
west
the city
of, west of Center Street.
Uh-huh.
No, just west of Center Street.
On Main, west of Center. Mm-hmm. Okay.
East of building, it's east of the square building there.
And isn't that where the city offices is now? The police is in the back, the library is in the back.
No, that's over here at Wing and Main.
Yeah.
On the east side of Wing and Main.
Oh, yes. Okay.
fire hose.
East of where this hotel was that you said that burned down.
Yes.
Fire hose, I think.
And that was a two-story building, and they, when they'd have council meetings, it would be upstairs in that, over the fire hall. That's where my dad ran into Ed Perrin when he first came into Northville. Ed Perrin was quite often sitting there in front of the fire hall, leaning back in his chair. He had carried a big gold honorary county sheriff's badge. Where the Northville Square is, that was there was a big brick apartment house there on that corner. And of course, you know that the library building, which started off as a church and then became the Williams Library, as they called it, was just south. They have that down in Ford Field there, the historical building.
Yeah, right.
Some of the people I remember were, well, most of them I remember were quite some characters. One of them was a fellow named Hod Jackson, who lived on Katy Street. He always had a lot of berries, raspberries. He used to bring, we used to buy raspberries from him, and he would always bring a quart or two over that he'd canned. And they sure were rich because he put a lot of honey in them when he canned them.
Oh.
And he'd always bring us over a couple of quarts of those.
And
another one was, you may have heard of, was Jewett Cranston. An awful lot of people said he was a mean son of a gun, but he really wasn't, as far as our family was concerned. He was always a friend of all of our family. The fact of the matter is, I always used to introduce him to anybody, but I always introduced him as the meanest man in town. He'd throw his head back and laugh and say, that was right. His sister, he or his sister, or maybe both of them, at that time owned the building where Northville Drugstore is. And
what,
she lived
Cranston?
Up. She lived up overhead. Cranston.
You were talking about the fireman. It was volunteer fireman.
Yes.
Sure. What about the police department then? What did?
Yes, we had a one-man police department. It was... first one I remembered was... I can't remember what his first name was. We always called him Cracky. Cracky Like. And the next one was Bill Savard. They both... had families. I understood that Don wanted something said about Don Ware wanted something said about the Taft family. That my sister Carrie was married to Gerald Taft, and they lived out here, corner of Taft Road and 8 Mile Road, and that was a land grant farm to the Taft family. And
of course, that's where it got its name, Taft Road, I'm sure.
Right. And Gerald, in later years, he worked for a bus company. In fact, he was one of the owners of the Blue Goose bus company. And in the late 20s, when they sold the bus company out by all but one man sold out to the what's the name of the big bus company now?
Greyhound.
Sold out to Greyhound, but for one. Gerald took his money and sunk it into that gravel pit and with the all fancy equipment for dredging out to the pit and washing the gravel, all operated by electric motors. Well, right after that, the depression hit went down the drain on that practically. So he and one man that was working for him named Jigger Austin, can't remember his first name either, we always called him Jigger, they would sit around this one winter hoping it would snow so they could plow roads with their trucks.
Where was the gravel pit that he started?
Just up from the corner of Taft Road and the 8 Mile Road, just up on the top of the hill. That had been a small gravel pit, but he opened it up real big. And that was a big after they got that, after the snow came, and they started rolling their two trucks to clear snow, and when spring came, they started getting a lot of orders for gravel, and the thing built up, and so they had quite a big... Gerald had quite a big gravel business, and also it went into road building work. So he was a contractor here for a number of years of doing road building. In fact, the couple of years I worked for him, we put in the road, all the roads on the west side of the river up at Kent Lake Park. Run all those roads in through there, through the woods and all.
You worked for him then?
Yes, for a couple of years.
What about the other businesses that was here? Ford's, of course.
Ford's
was here for a number of years.
I think they started here in 1919, if I remember right. They had, one of my brothers was in high school at that time, and he went down and Mr. Barberger gave him a job for the summertime. And he talked with him when school came on if he could work on the midnight shift. Mr. Marburger told him as long as he didn't interfere with his grades. If he heard different, why, he'd fire him. But he wanted to let him know first. So my brother John worked for him, for the Fords there, for a couple months, and then went and told him he was all through. So then he got a job in the bank. On his last year, he was still working in the bank most of his last year in school. I mean, he started working in the bank most of his last year in school.
Okay, other than Ford's, what other businesses were here that you recall?
Well, right across from the Ford plant, there was a lumber yard. Most people don't remember that there was a lumber yard there.
Across Main?
Mm-hmm. Where the... Those two apartment houses, the one farthest to the east was closer to the corner, they moved it. And in between those two buildings, one of those was built up. I think one of them was built right from the ground up, but the other one was this whole this big house that was moved and remodeled. But right in between those places was the lumber yard. Then down around the corner was the Stinson Scale Works. They made the platform scales. They later moved to just across the Ohio River into Kentucky.
Covington or Louisville?
No, Louisville, into Louisville, Kentucky. That one time I was, my wife and I were taking a trip and we came up, coming back home, we come up through Louisville and must have been about 5 or 6 blocks down the road from it, and I saw this sign up there, Stimson Scaleworks.
Hmm.
It wasn't Stinson, it was Stimson.
Stimson.
Later on in that same building down there, they was where Stinson Aircraft Factory started. Eddie Stinson. Eddie Stinson was quite a character. He was quite a drinker, and he was over to Selfridge Field once. And when he took off from there, he had quite a load on, and he started doing loop the loop. And he did it from Selfridge Field to field out here on the Lappin Farm, one right after another. Just go out of one loop and go into another, all the way. And we happened to see him, I was standing in the yard, and we saw him going over as far as you could see him, just out of one loop and into another with those small flames.
Did he live here in town?
I imagine he had some place here to live, but I don't know. I never really knew. I used to substitute for the postmaster's son, Warner Neal. I used to substitute for him carrying out the special delivery letters. At that time, they could have a kid do it. So you get a few cents each for each one. And quite often, they'd have packages and letters that go down to the Stinson Aircraft Factory. Beyond that, just across the creek from there, was the big building, Globe Furniture Factory. That was a very well-known furniture company in the United States at that time. This side where you turn and go around to Katy Street off of Main there across from Ford's, around in there was foundry, Amber's foundry, Bell foundry. They made, one time they made furnaces. They were considered a real good furnace.
They also, didn't they make bells?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, they made bells. And another man made butter churns back in that area. They were crocks about this high that sat in the frame and then you turned and churned butter. They were for more or less for farmers for their own use.
Uh-huh. And that was in that area back in there where the foundry was?
Right. We used to go back at the foundry and play in their sand pits. And also snitch a handful of little pieces of metal, about a quarter of an inch in diameter and a quarter inch long. They made good material for your swing shots.
Oh, I'll bet. I'll bet. Racetrack was the fairgrounds. What can you tell me about your memories of that?
Well, when that organization was started, you see, the fair was at one time over at Plymouth. And then they got up the Fair Association here in Northville. And I remember my dad, he bought one share of stock. And he had that share of stock as long as he lived. One share. In the outfit. And of course, that later became the driving club. And I think that was started around 1912 or 13. They used to always have the fair in October. First part of October or the last of September, then they changed it to last of August. And they had the racetrack there, and they always had quite a race meet during the fair. They had acts that were hired to come in and perform on the platform across the racetrack in front of the grandstand. One of the best acts I ever seen was a trained little pigs. My dad talked to the trainer after that, and he told my dad that they were the easiest animals he ever trained. He said he trained a lot of different acts, but the pigs were the easiest. He said the only thing was that they didn't last very long, they grew so fast. But, oh, that was really a riot, watching those pigs. They were trained better than a bunch of dogs to run through barrels and play on teeter-totters and run up, go up steps and slide down slides and chase each other around. Then, of course, they had the farm animals on exhibit. They had one big building that they had the women's products in. There was baking and sewing. I don't know what all they had, but they had a lot of stuff. And then they had another big building that they had a lot of things in. So I remember there were this one line of stock buildings where they had horses and cattle.
Just a second.
All in all, they had, besides the grandstand, they had about four of these buildings for the horses and cattle and pigs and sheep. And then, besides that, they had at least three, if not four, other buildings in that area. And, of course, during the fair, they'd always have a baseball game over in the side of the inside of the racetrack. And at night, they would quite a later years they had horse shows there. And sometimes during the day, they'd have kids races on Shetland ponies or their riding horses. So it was really quite entertaining. My first memory of the Northville Fair was my mother taking me there, and she put me in the baby contest.
You remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
How old would you have been, about?
3 or 4. My sisters tell me I'm nuts sometimes when I tell them things I remember, because they don't remember them. The landscape around the town has changed quite a bit in different areas. There where Arbor Drug is, that was all vacant area in there. And we used to do a lot of sliding downhill there. There was quite a hill there before they chewed it off to put the drugstore there. We'd slide right down to the creek. And that split first place that I slid downhill on the sled. In fact, I took the easy way, and my mother came to the door and told me to get back up on that other part and go down the steep part. You spoke about recreation. One of the big recreations around here in the wintertime was going ice skating. Lots of people went to the pond down there off of Hutton Street and Raisin Street. And a lot went up to the Ambler Pond, which was just below where the road goes across the creek to the Rural Hill Cemetery. There was a dam there that held up big, backed up a big pond there, and that was good skating too. That dam went out and they never rebuilt it. The one down there off of Hutton Street, that dam went out several times, but each time they rebuilt it. There used to be a ice house right on the embankment that was built up alongside of the dam. They'd cut the ice with the horse-drawn ice cutting outfit and bring the ice to the edge and run them up belt elevator out of the pond and into the ice house and stack
where
that full.
Where was the ice house exactly, Virginia, in relation to where it is of the streets today?
Well, where the pond is right at the end of Raisin Street.
Uh-huh.
And the dam is just south of Raisin Street. And that embankment runs south over to the property where, the edge of the property where the historical village is. And on that bank, and on, built right on the bank and down, of course, off the edge of the bank, was this high ice house. And beyond that, at the end of the spillway to the off of next street over is where there was a mill, grain mill. It was owned by the Yerkes family. They later, I think that burnt down and they built down alongside the railroad track on the baseline road. People used to come there to the mill with their teams and wagons loaded with grain and sell some of it there, and some of it would be ground for them, and they'd take it home for feed for their horses and cattle. Pardon me, mainly for their cattle. Another thing was when I was lived on Hutton Street, the wagons would go by there loaded with milk cans, and early in the morning, or not early, about 10 o'clock in the morning, going down, they were going to the condensery down on the baseline where the milk was condensed. And they'd come back with their tank milk cans rattling to beat the diggins. Well, I think it was Thornton, but I'm not sure. First, I thought it was T.G. Richardson, but I was told different. Maybe each of them owned it at different times. I don't know. But I do know that the condensery, as I understood it, was supposed to have been the first condensery, milk condensery, in the United States.
That was on 8 Mile.
Yes, 8 Mile on the east side of the railroad tracks. Not on the 8 Mile as you know it now, on the baseline.
What they now call baseline.
Yes.
Somewhere in that area through there, near the cider mill?
Across the road from it.
Uh-huh.
Where the cider mill is, the condensery was directly across the road from it.
Directly across. Mm-hmm.
It's a stamping plant now. They make all kinds of automobile parts there now. And other kinds of stampings too.
You certainly have an awful lot of memories.
My sister-in-law, her name was Bina Hayes. She married my brother, Bill. Most people, she and her friends always call him Arthur, but the rest of the family always call him Bill. They lived up here, the second house beyond the creek on the north side of the street, Randolph. She was born in one of the two houses there, the second one or the third one. She lived in both of them at different times, I know. In fact, she and her husband both lived in different times.
She still lived?
No, she died quite a few years ago. My sister Alice, she was next door. She had 5 kids. And consequently, I had one nephew that was older than I was.
Very.
She later bought the house over here on High Street. It has the glazed brick front. She lived in that for, let's see, 22 years, 23 years, something like that. Lived there by herself. She loved the big house so she could have the whole family come in.
we used to have, she had us in for a lot of family gatherings. But two of her oldest son and her next to the youngest son are dead, and the other three who live in all different parts of the country, one of them in Florida and one in New York State and one up in northern Michigan.
The house that you're living in, who lived in it before you moved here?
Well, we bought it from people by the name of King, but they only owned it for about a year and a half. And he bought it from people by the name, I believe the name was White, but I'm not sure. They lived upstairs when he after he bought it, because they just switched locations. The Kings were living upstairs renting, and they bought it.
Is this a two-family?
Yes. But I haven't had anybody up there for a long time. Originally, this house, when I first saw it, I believe I was only in it once. My niece and her husband lived in it. His folks and grandparents. This house goes way back in his family, Strauss. And this was all one room, kitchen, and this was all living room. That area there was, from there to the back, was a big dining room. There was a big kitchen back there, opening to go down in the basement. But at the end of this room was an open stairway to go up. But it was changed to my niece and nephew, they owned the place across the street. And his mother lived here alone after Dad died, and after a while they traded places, and then had the apartment fixed up upstairs, and sold that one over there, and she came and lived up here. And then they went, sold this, and went out to Stanton, Michigan. So the house is nothing like what it used to be. In fact, besides the changes that they made inside, the house had been added on to three times.
Okay. I'm sure you have given an awful lot of information that we haven't had before. Some of it dovetails in with what other people have told.
No, there'd be a lot of repetition.
Yes, well, not necessarily repetition, because your memory of something is different, you see. But I want to thank you very, very much on behalf of the Historical Society.
Oh, pleasure meeting you, too.